So, Tony, you joined Spurs in the late 70s, and the story is that you were recommended by Bill Nicholson.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was at university trying to be a teacher, and played a game in a place called Buxton in the middle of the Peak District, and I was told a scout was coming, and it was a really horrible night, and I thought, well, I'll probably give this one a miss. And about two or three weeks later, I found out that, yeah, Bill Nicholson was a scout. He was a chief scout, I suppose, at the time, and he came and watched about half the game. Typical of Bill that he would manage to work his way through some absolutely awful weather. And they made an offer a few weeks later, and I signed for Spurs in the January. This was December, so it was just before Christmas.
So he'd recommended you, and he'd recommended Gary Mabbott, so that's high praise.
Yeah, yeah. He just. I don't think he recommended me. I think he just says, you know, because of the money, because of the level, he just says, I think we should sign him. He told Keith Bergenshaw, and Keith just said, well, if he's good enough for Bill, it's good enough for me, and that was it. Job done.
Keith's building a team at that stage, and he brings in Ardiles and Villa in the summer of 78 after the World Cup, and his efforts culminate in 81 with that centenary FA Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when I sort of jumped about four or five levels, so I had to sort of bide my time a bit, a couple of injuries, but eventually when I got in the team, it was a sort of completely new team. They'd just been promoted back into the first division, so it was like a rebuilding period, and it took Keith a couple of years to get towards a team that he thought could be successful. And which we were in 1981.
So the cup final, everybody talks about Ricky Villa's brilliant goal at Wembley, voted the greatest ever Wembley goal. Most people forget that you created it with a brilliant run down the left.
Well, I thought we were sort of releasing pressure from the back, and sort of one of the things that, you know, one of my jobs really was to sort of cover ground, sort of work the ball upfield and give it to the players who are probably a little bit more creative, more than me. So that's what I did. I sort of took the ball a fair bit up the field, gave it to Ricky. Basically, what Ricky did was unbelievable, as we can all remember.
And then you come back the following year, just like Spurs did in 61 and 62, yep. And you win the cup again against QPR. Not as great a final, but obviously another winner's medal.
Yeah, they were sort of contrasting. The first year, we Man City, arguably the best team in the first game. The second game was a classic, the replay against Man City. In the year after, we should have won the game. First, you know, the first game, we conceded a very late equaliser. The replay, arguably QPR were a bit unfortunate to lose 1-0. Yeah, it wasn't a great game, the second game. But, you know, at the end of it, over the season, we deserved to win something that year. As well as, that's probably the best Spurs team I ever played in, that 82 team.
So momentum's building under Bergenshaw, and he's got people like Hoddle, and he's got Mabbott and Clements and Houghton and Muller and Falco and Crooks and Archibald, and you know you're fighting in the league, and you're coming close in the leagues, and then as the season progresses, you're kind of falling away.
Yeah. To that 82 season was it was, you know, we played an awful lot of games because we got to the semi final of the European Governors Cup and lost to Barcelona in Barcelona, and we lost by one goal. So we had a good run in we got to league final. Should have been Liverpool, but usual thing, we were 1-0 up and they nicked a late one. By the end of the season, we were absolutely knackered. In those days, you know, you had very small squads, so we'd have 14 or 15 players, and if you had a few injuries, players got tired, you couldn't replace them. The clubs couldn't run with big squads in those days. So you had to have players who were playing with injuries, and I think it just got caught up with us. But that was definitely the best Spurs team I ever played in that year. So just it was fortunate that we just managed to hang on and win the FA Cup.
You were at the Anderlecht game on Thursday night, and of course Spurs and Anderlecht is a classic memory for a lot of Spurs fans of that era, winning the UEFA Cup in 84.
Yeah, I was at the game. It was nice to be invited, so I went on the pitch, said a few words. It was, it brought back memories. Anderlecht had some really tremendous support there. Very good. There was a good atmosphere, you know, for Europa League. It had a bit of spice to it. I wouldn't say they're remotely anywhere near as good as the team that we played in 84. It was brimming full of internationals, but they played quite well, Anderlecht. Spurs played okay and just about edged it. But it did bring back memories, because obviously 84 was fantastic because we won it in front of our own supporters. So it was a night as a Spurs player, you'd never forget. And all the players, I still bumped into people there who were at that game, as young people. So they said they'll never forget it. And, so it's one of the greatest memories of anybody, really, as a sports Spurs in the last 30, 40 years.
That game is always remembered, of course, as the end of a Birkinshaw era. And Spurs in the modern day have been turning over managers under Daniel Levy at quite an alarming rate. What's your take on Pochettino?
Oh, well, I've never met him, so I don't know him. I mean, I see Ozzy there, because Ozzy's an ambassador at Spurs, so Ozzy sort of talks to him occasionally and rates him quite highly. I'd say that they're looking better this year than they did last year. I would say there's been an improvement. He's got rid of one or two players. They look as if they're going in the right direction. They probably need one or two more players, maybe going forward, but the other centre-half seems to have made a big difference. Now, that if I pronounce his name, is Toby Alderweireld. He plays for Belgium anyway.
Yeah.
He's made a very good partnership in the middle with Vertonghen, and they look quite solid down the middle. So I think over the season, that will get them points, save them points, things like that. So they're looking more solid at the back, and I think that's going to be crucial. I think they'll always score goals. They create chances. They'll always score goals. So I think they've made progress, and I think they'll be thereabouts at the end of the season for the top four.
Massive game tomorrow for Spurs.
Yeah, I think if I'm being honest, Spurs have a great chance, really. I know they don't win many at Arsenal. They won a few years ago under Harry. He drew there and won, but Arsenal do have a lot of injuries. Whether people, they can dismiss that, but he's missing some of his greatest players. So it's a great opportunity for Spurs to go there, really, and be positive. And what you need to do is get your nose in front, get the first goal, and anything can happen. So they've got a great. I'd be very surprised if I'd probably quite fancy a draw, but Spurs really do have a very good opportunity, really do.
I mentioned earlier some of the players that Keith Birkinshaw had in his squad, and you've played with some of the best at club and international level. And I mean, for Ireland, you played alongside McGrath and Brady and Lawrenson and Kevin Moran and Ray Houghton. Who were the standout players for club and country that you may have enjoyed?
In terms of obviously playing for Spurs, you've got Ozzy and Glenn and Pippa, and he's a magnificent sort of servant at Spurs, and a very outstanding brain, great footballer. In terms of, overall, so Liam Brady didn't affect and beat him as a player. I did play with him many times, but Liam was a magnificent player, really was. What Liam had was he had a real turn of change of pace in and around the box. He could sort of go past players, a great finisher. He's certainly the greatest Irish player I've ever played with, and nobody's come near him. Definitely one of the greatest players of all time, really. And he was a massive success when he went to Italy. And in those days, very few people succeeded in Italy, but he certainly did. Obviously, Paul was just a magnificent all-round player. A player who the country loved and Jack loved, and he's a real talisman for the national team.
What was it like being involved in the Charlton era?
Well, I was involved prior to that, and Jack, sort of what he did, he brought in a sense of organisation, really, and a bit of self-belief. So we had a pattern of play. We certainly had that, and you had to adapt to that pattern of play. One or two players found it hard, but he basically instilled some discipline into the team. And if you didn't do it his way, then you wouldn't be doing it at all. And eventually people came around to his way of thinking, and what it did do, it made it an incredibly hard team to beat. And teams then started to sort of not really look forward to playing against us. Jack was great. He engendered a great atmosphere, and people loved playing for him. And it was the foundation, really, of the national team's success. And it all started. And it was good to be part of that. And obviously, it was good to be part of the team that beat England in 1988. That's a day I'll never forget.
You got 29 caps for Ireland. Was that a fair return?
Well, but I think towards the end of my Irish career, I mean, the thing about me, I didn't start playing till I would be mid-20s, 25, 26, something like that, before I played my... I had to wait 18 months to qualify. You had to go through all that paperwork and all that sort of stuff. So, and then, obviously, you know, when I was playing, and then Jack kept me in the squad, even though I wasn't playing. So he wanted his trusted people around him. So I was just delighted to be part of that team. So, yeah, more than happy to play those games and, you know, those great memories. But I'd say I was proud to be part of something, like to build that foundation that resulted in, you know, the 1990 success and the success from the 90s.
They're on the cusp of qualification now for the next Euros if they can overcome Bosnia in the two-league playoff. You rate their chances?
Yeah, I think they've come quite good towards the end of the group. It's not the greatest draw. I'll think of three or four that would have been preferred. But, you know, they'll be tough. Over the two games, it'll be tough. I'd be surprised if there's more than one goal in it. It'll be two really hard for, I would think, fairly lively physical games. And, you know, over the two games, there's no reason why they can't just nick it and get there. No reason at all. So I think, you know, beating Germany must have given them absolutely masses and masses of self-belief. So going to Dublin is never going to be easy, and they will be looking forward to playing in Dublin.
So coming up to date, you're coming to Derry next Friday for a fans' night with Mr. Falco and Paul Miller. What kind of night can fans, Spurs supporters expect?
I'm just hoping to meet some supporters. I've not really been to that part of the world. Obviously, I've been to Belfast, but I've been to, obviously, many parts of the Republic. So it'd be a new experience for me to meet some of the supporters, talk about some old times, and obviously chat about how things are now. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, you get old, you just look forward to meeting real supporters. So it'll be good fun. We'll be telling one or two old stories, and hopefully people will have a good night. And go home happier than when they came.
You look back on a good career, Tony.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's we're all getting old now, so it's quite a long time ago, but I go to Spurs occasionally, and we've had a couple of get-togethers in the Republic and in Dublin. So, yeah, I've had some great times, and, you know, I've really, really enjoyed them. As I say, you know, probably the two ones that stick out in my mind are the Anderlecht game and the beating of England in 1988, you know, certainly internationally. That was something that I'll never forget as long as I live. And when you meet any Irish supporters, they always say, well, that's the highlight of their lives, maybe apart from getting to the quarterfinal of the World Cup in 90.
You've always been known as a brainy player because of your degree in Russian. How much use was it on the pitch?
It was virtually nil use, if that's not particularly good English. I played against Soviet Union as well, twice. I played one of my early games. We beat them at home in a qualifying game. We played really well. I think Oleg Blokhin played in that game, but then we played them obviously in the European Championships in 1988, and that was. Obviously, I was picking up one or two things they were saying. I tried to change the shirt game and refused because they had the ump, because we basically without played them that night. And when people say, you know, you pick words up, and I tried to go up and speak to them afterwards, but they were a bit miserable and mean that night. For new under orders not to change shirts. So, not really great daily use, but there you are, such is life. I didn't know when I did the degree that I'd be playing professional football. Who knows what happens in your life.